Do you ever feel like you need more energy? Better concentration?
Huh? What?
A more fulfilling sex life?
I wish my fucking useless, pathetic fucking dick worked. I'm pathetic, pathetic, pathetic!
Then come on down to Juniper and June's Juicery, where we have an endless selection of wellness shots guaranteed to give you the vitality and vigor you need to feel vibrant and vivacious. For energy!
The hot shots!
Homemade apple cider vinegar mixed with our unique house blend of turmeric, ginger, cayenne pepper, and lime juice.
For concentration,
the buckshot,
almond milk, kale, venison, and room temperature iced water mixed with our unique house blend of turmeric, ginger, cayenne pepper, and lime juice.
For those of you looking to spice up your love life, don't miss out on a recurring monthly aphrodisiac special.
The Celebrity Cum Shot.
We work with some of the most popular talent in Hollywood to source these semen-based mindfulness jolts. In the past, we've had Jimmy Fallon, Usher, Chris Pratt.
I'm so excited for this.
And many more. This month, it's Rob Lowe. It's exactly what it sounds like. A dash of Rob's semen mixed with our unique house blend of turmeric, ginger, cayenne pepper, and lime juice.
And it is so delicious.
Drink up before it curdles. Available while stocks last. Next month, Gary Oldman.
So come on down to Juniper and June's for that extra boost, because sometimes diet, exercise, meditation, and cocaine just isn't enough.
And it is so delicious.
It's a weekly feature, it's a really great time. We'll have a fun time, we'll have a nice time. It's a weekly feature, so what do you know?
My name's Chris.
And your name's Joe. No, it's not. Sorry.
What?
Sorry, my name's...
Welcome! Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Weekly Feature. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a jam-packed show for you this week. It's going to... Whoa. But are you okay, Chris? Are you okay?
No, not really, mate. A little bit fed up, a little bit down in the dumps, a little bit depressed, if I'm honest.
Oh, why is that? What's wrong?
It's the show, actually. It's getting me down.
Don't be down about the show, you nincompoop. The show's brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's more to do with the listens, you know. We're not getting enough downloads, not enough listeners.
That's not true. That isn't true. We've got loads of listeners. Loads of them.
Well, how many listeners do we have then, Joe? How many downloads did we have, you know, last week, for example?
Don't ask me those sort of questions on air, okay? You've really put me on the spot there, mate.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you, Joe. I've started cutting myself again.
Whoa.
And my bulimia is back in a bad way.
Oh, okay. Is there anything we can do to help?
You know, I suppose if more people listen to the show and, you know, the people that were listening to the show maybe, you know, liked us and followed us on social media at Week Productions. You know, left us nice comments, nice reviews, gave us good ratings on things like Apple Podcasts. That might, you know, pull me out of this, you know, suicidal slump.
Well, you heard him, folks. Please like, subscribe, share the show, comment, and just get involved. Because if you don't, you do have Chris's blood and vomit on your hands. And he is very fragile.
Ha ha ha!
I'm here at Universal Studios, which is kind of like a movie studio cum theme park. And if you're laughing at the idea of a cum theme park, God help you, because that's not a joke. That's not trying to get a laugh there. That's just what it is. So welcome to Universal Studios, and you know, I'm just looking around here, and I always think that theme parks are kind of like a microcosm of American society as a whole, in general. And by that, I mean you see a lot of childhood obesity, a lot of it. And people sometimes think, oh, Los Angeles, you know, Southern California, you got Beverly Hills, you got, you know, the sexy ladies on the beaches and stuff. Do you really have obesity there like you do in, you know, Mississippi and Alabama and, you know, the 47 other states? And the truth is that, yes, we do. We are not immune to the obesity epidemic, and particularly the children. Lots of fat little fuckers waddling around here, gasping for breath. And it really is quite sad. There's a kid here I'm just looking at. He's probably about 7 years old, and he will be fat for the rest of his life. There's no way he will ever lose that weight. No chance. Another one over here, little girl, probably about 10 years of age, and she's eating some funnel cake. And for those of you that don't know what funnel cake is, that is basically just a plate of batter covered in powdered sugar, and Americans love it. Before you get on my ass here and like, oh, you're fat shaming, it's not true. Not fat shaming. There's nothing funny about children having strokes. One of the other things that you can do here is there's a little tour. You get on a kind of little train thing, and it takes you around different parts of the studio, and you get to look at, you know, old sets and props from the movies. You've got the shark from Jaws, for example. He comes out of a little body of water at you, kind of in the same way, you know, a skeleton might dangle on you. At a ghost train, people scream and get excited, even though it's clearly fake. That's no way is that a real shark. You'd have to be an idiot to think that, and especially in a body of water that size. You also have the Boeing 747 wreckage from Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds, which, to be honest, I'm not sure if that's the kind of image that Boeing needs to be cultivating at the moment, what with all the regulatory fines and wrongful death lawsuits that they've been dealing with. I would think that using one of their downed aircraft as a theme park attraction is one of the last things they need. They should be focusing on keeping their planes firmly in the sky. Not to mention that if I wanted to see a crashed Boeing plane, I could literally just put the news on, or, you know, visit somewhere like Malaysia or Indonesia, which are kind of hotspots these days for plane crash tourism, thanks to a combination of lax regulations, shoddy engineering, and suicidal pilots. Seriously though, I mean, we can all relate. I mean, who amongst us can honestly say that they don't have suicidal thoughts several times a day? But there's really no need to take a load of innocent people down with you. I mean, whatever happened to just jumping in the bathtub with a toaster like a man?
Downtown Los Angeles today has seen some protests. Chris, you were on the scene, weren't you?
That's right, Joe. The animal rights activist group Primate Passion are protesting against a portion of the perfume profession that still tests on animals, specifically by spraying the stuff into the eyes of cute little monkeys in order to see if they go blind. If the monkey's vision is unaffected, then the ape smells nice and is allowed to visit the theatre district and take in a play. But if it goes blind, then it is slowly euthanized. I spoke to some of the left-wing loonies on the scene.
It's getting tense out here. I can't guarantee that it's going to remain peaceful. If our demands aren't heard, and soon, well, this crowd is going to go bananas.
And what are your views, sir?
Well, I just think it's disgusting that these perfume corporations get away with it. If nothing changes, then I, for one, will go absolutely ape.
And how about you, madam? Are you passionate about primates?
Absolutely. This is a serious issue. It's so important to us. I mean, we're not monkeying around here.
And there you have it. Back to the studio. Joe.
Excellent reporting there, Chris. That really put the cat amongst the pigeons. Oh, fuck off.
Hey guys, Greg Sampson here, celebrity grave digger and mortician to the stars. Celebrities these days, they don't want to be buried in the ground to be eaten by insects and worms. Nah, they want to look hot. And that is the Greg Sampson guarantee. I've worked with all kinds of rich and famous people. And by work with them, I mean I put them in the ground. I've worked with George Harrison. I've worked with Anna Nicole Smith. And I've worked with the Ramones. That was a lot of fun. Postmodern Botox, breast implants, and lip injections. Don't you want to look your best for all eternity? So call in today and check out our luxury custom-made caskets and exotic embalming fluids. And don't even think about asking me about cremation. I'll kick you out of my goddamn office!
Now it's time for our brand new regular weekly feature, Rolling Back the Rock, where classic rock and roll comes back to life from underneath the rock. Let's rock! Roll tape.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. Not my words, the words of Scott McKenzie. I would never advise people to do that. But what if 50 plus years ago, you decided to pass on the magic bus up to the Bay Area? Well, you may have spent those heady days here on the Sunset Strip, just west of Hollywood. They say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. Well, I can't remember the 60s, but not because I was there, but because I wasn't even born. So that makes zero sense. If the stories are anything to go by, 1967's Summer of Love was one of love. And these streets were awash with a kaleidoscope of freaks. California dreaming on a magic carpet ride to get 8 miles high. On all manner of lids, dots, drips, spots, dandelions, white rabbits, and Garys. But it wasn't all turning on and dropping out. The LA music scene was hotter than a bonga a boogaloo. While you might be familiar with names like The Doors, The Byrds, and Buffalo Springfield, one of the biggest bands of the day are now only talked about by the type of guy who drinks tofu smoothies. I'm talking about Colonel Allman's Colour Kit. I got a big pink balloon. I hope that you will not want to. And if you've got a pink balloon, let's float off to the moon and make love. Make love. Originally formed in 1965 by three USC dentistry undergraduates, the Colour Kit built an early career writing radio jingles for a local furniture store. Sit on me, sit on me, sit on me. Boom, boom, you gotta boom, sit, 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 sit on me. Down at Frank's upholstery. Come sit on Frank. But that all changed in the spring of 66, when a chance encounter with a nude street performer known as Colonel Almond, real name Paul Mitchell, radically altered their sound and their minds. Under the leadership and wizardry of Colonel Almond, real name Paul Mitchell, the Colour Kit became known for their far-out music and even further-out live shows. Adorned in psychedelic garb, their gimmick at the height of hippiedom, showering their audience with acid-soaked nuts. However, after a string of influential albums, 1967's self-titled, 1968's Nut Butter, and 1969's Journey to the Centre of the Tambourine, the band's meteoric rise came to a juddering halt when, during a show at the Rainbow Room, a young fan ate too many of the free druggy snacks. That young fan was Sarah Kimski, a high school student with a potent nut allergy, her head swelling bigger than a Led Zeppelin.
Colonel Almond and the Colour Kit, or CAC as they were affectionately known by their fans, spent the next few years incarcerated in a Los Angeles County jail, from where the group recorded and released their final work, 1973's Busting a Nut.
You busted a nut, put him back in his shell, and then time forgot, and he's been assaulted.
Following his release, Colonel Almond, real name Paul Mitchell, embarks on a full rehabilitation of his life, graduated law school, and after having his previous felonies expunged, is today practicing as one of the city's top judges, his days with the Colour Kit a distant memory. Until tonight, following a feverish online petition which gained more than 150 signatures, CAC are back, announcing just yesterday a one-off reunion show, where else but the Rainbow Room on LA's Sunset Strip, and I've got an all-access pass to the show.
Another ride they have here. I'm not going on any of the rides, by the way. You've got to get in line and queue up for 2 hours for a, 45-second ride. I'm not a fucking idiot. I don't know why anyone bothers. But one of the rides that they have here is Fast and the Furious, which is a movie franchise about fast cars, I suppose. I haven't seen any of them because I'm a grown-up. But I looked this up, and there are 9 Fast and Furious films. 9, which just about tells you all that you need to know about society. What I did find interesting about those films, though, is the names of some of the people in them. You know, you got Vin Diesel, Diesel, car film, Diesel. Another guy, Paul Walker. He also died tragically. Well, not for me. I didn't know him. In fact, I'd literally never heard of him until he died. But, still probably sad for some people. But he actually died in a car crash, which is ironic because he was probably going too fast. I don't know, though. But again, with the name, Paul Walker. Walker. Driving. Walker. Should have just stuck to walking, maybe. Might have been a bit safer. But yeah, I'm not interested in those films anyway, which... Really, I think they're just movies about muscly guys driving fast cars, and not sure why you even need to be muscly to drive a fast car. Makes no sense. Any wanker can drive a fast car. But yeah, the muscles, steroids, isn't it? Which I hear can shrink your genitals. So you look at a guy like Vin Diesel, big, tough, muscly guy on the outside, but he's probably got a scrotum like a sultana. Well, that's just about all I could stomach of Universal Studios. Disappointed that I haven't seen Mickey Mouse anywhere, actually. I'm really disappointed. I was looking forward to meeting him, so I'll have to mention that in my one-star Yelp review of Universal Studios. And in case you didn't know that about me, actually, I'm a pretty prolific Yelper. I don't know if you've ever seen the sentence, would leave no stars if possible, but I came up with that. But yeah, no Mickey, not as bothered about Minnie. I would have settled for Goofy. I do like Goofy. It's funny how, I'm probably not the first person to have thought about this, but it's funny how Mickey has a dog called Pluto, who is just a dog, but he also has a friend who is a dog called Goofy. But Goofy acts more like Mickey. He seems to have more status and more rights than Pluto. Goofy is basically the anthropomorphic dog version of an Uncle Tom, if you will. There's no Daffy Duck here anywhere either, but that's fine. Daffy Dick, I call him. And just as I'm leaving, I'm just noticing that we have a costumed Homer Simpson posing with a kid dressed as Harry Potter for a photograph outside the Bates Motel. So, yeah, it's very confusing, this place, but these fucking idiots lap it up, so who can blame Universal for taking their money? Anyway, Universal Studios, absolute waste of time, would leave no stars if possible, and there's a bar right by the entrance too. My biggest mistake when I came in was just walking straight past that. Could have just spent the afternoon in there. Anyway, see you later.
Hello, this is Clint Eastwood. And when I listen to the weekly feature, this now good, bad, and ugly. It's just good, good, and good. And it makes me feel lucky. Well, do you, punk?
Last week, Colonel Almond, real name Judge Paul Mitchell, was presiding over the horrific Barton family murder-suicide trial. But tonight, he's putting down the gavel and picking up the microphone, stripping off the robe and donning the caftan and beads, putting his books back and preparing his nuts. As for one night only, he and the rest of the colour kit are back. Earlier on today, I caught up with a lady who started the reunion campaign. She simply calls herself Willow. Well, Willow, you're 73 years old now, but this must bring back some wonderful memories.
Oh, it does. Those were wonderful days. I would just fuck anybody.
Whoa. Okay, I mean, you're 73 now, Willow. The band has some incredible songs, so many. What are you looking forward to most tonight?
I'm just looking for some good drugs and a good fuck.
Whoa. Okay, all right. Jeez, whoa, you're 73, Willow. Grow up. Come on.
There were the bees' fucking knees. There were the dogs' fucking bollocks. There were the... What else is there? There were the tigers' fucking stripes. Not as fucking good, but you get the fucking idea. When I first fucking heard them, I was like, what? You know, not because I couldn't fucking hear them properly, but because they were so fucking good, I was like, what? Have I not fucking heard these before? Someone was like, oh, that's Colonel Armand's fucking colour kit. And I was like, what? Because I never fucking heard of them. And I was like, what? These boys are going to be fucking huge. All that fucking free love shit, I can fucking sell that. And they were American, and they were still unsigned at the time. And I was like, what? Americans, you know, they're so fucking stupid. They wouldn't know fucking talent if Miles fucking Davis was giving them a fucking blowjob. So I got on a fucking plane to America, and I get a fucking meeting with the band, and I'm like, oi, fuckheads, here's a fucking pen, here's a fucking piece of fucking paper. Don't be fucking idiots. Don't fucking overthink it. Just sign on the dotted fucking line, I'll make you fucking stars. And the fucking idiots just fucking signed the fucking thing without fucking reading it, and I got fucking rich. I tell you, these fucking boys shit fucking gold. I shit you fucking not. I had so much fucking money, I didn't know what to fucking do with it. I got a new fucking wing on my house. I got a new pair of fucking tits for my wife. And I got a new fucking wife. I had a new fucking girl hanging off the end of my fucking knob every other fucking night. But don't tell my fucking wife about that, because you know what fucking women are like. Fucking...
Good evening, Los Angeles. Thank you. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to? Whether they're ready to rock? Are you guys ready to rock? I got it.
With an average age of 78, the band very slowly made their way on stage around 5:15 p.m. Judge Almond, not so much showering the crowd with his nuts, as pathetically scattering them in front of him. I was later informed this may have been down to a chronic arthritis in his elbows. Despite this, the group successfully took us on a sonic journey through hits such as I've Got a Big Pink Balloon, Joss Sticks and Candy Licks, and the spectromorphic adventures of one Julie Petunia, before leaving the stage at 5:30 p.m. Well, the drugs may now be nothing stronger than Imodium, and free parking more important than free love, but this was a special evening, where even the biggest squares in the building were putting flowers in their hair, if they had any hair left.
Well, that's pretty much the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for listening. Just time now for a quick little bit of housekeeping.
Oh,
No, not that kind of housekeeping, Joe, but a good job getting the vacuuming done. And those cinnamon rolls smell delicious. And that really is a lovely little French maid's outfit you're wearing.
Oh, you think so? Merci beaucoup. Now, of course you didn't mean that kind of housekeeping. We meant this kind. Subscribe, like, comment. Be sure to listen to the next show. Plus, we have a new website, don't we, Chris? Tell them about it.
Yes, theweeklyfeature.com. It's a brand new website that you can check out all things The Weekly Feature. You can also sign up for our newsletter there, so you might get some, you know, more exclusive content, stuff that we can't post publicly on Instagram and things like that, you know, kind of nudes, dick pics, those kinds of things.
Oh, wait, what? You didn't run that by me. I'm not doing that.
Anyway, thanks. Bye.
Next week on The Weekly Feature, Joe attends Pride.
Yeah, party time. Well, they said there'd be a lot of butch boys here, but this is ridiculous. Anyone know what time Lady Gaga's on?